What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture, this Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
Oh, Atlanta, we got issues going on, man. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Flower Branch. Just in my head a little bit, man, because we're trying to figure out, as Mark Raimondi just joined us, about where the Falcons potentially can go. Look, in life, you gotta prepare for the worst, okay? If the best thing happens, and Jalen Walker, Mike, hyperextended,
right,
and he's going to be fine, great. James Pierce Jr., no suspension, great. But what if it's the opposite? What if it is Jalen Walker out for the season and James Pierce Jr. out for an extended period of time from a suspension from the league?
Right.
So you got to prepare for the worst. So we're sitting here and we're contemplating, okay, all the things that are going on. And just to reset, because, again, we know you haven't necessarily been listening all day. Maybe you have, and thank you. But, Mike, the Jalen Walker situation, let's recap it real quick for those who are just joining us.
Yeah, Jalen Walker in the middle of practice, 11-on-11, and there was some contact. Again, they're not full pads, but there's contact in the trenches, playing edge rusher, and he goes down. And immediately it's a serious injury. Players all take a knee. Medical staff evaluates him. He is carted off. He gets up under his own power, walks on the cart. They don't put an air cast on. But he does leave practice, and it was substantial enough an injury where the guys were affected by it. Stefanski read the room, said, all right, practice is canceled, and that's it. And then we had a report initially that Steve Weiss had heard, and Ian Rappaport reported they're hearing it's an ACL. But we have not heard that from the Falcons yet.
And that's where we are, and that's why we're kind of like, I'm trying to think of the other word, the frustrating word that I was using earlier.
Flabbergasted?
No, there was the other word that I was using, but I can't say it on the air.
Oh.
But that's how
just
we're
don't
feeling.
Break any more stuff today, okay?
I'll try not to. Look, the Alex Anthopoulos stuff got me going, and then this on top of it.
Right.
Mike's claiming I beat up a fan today out here.
I know what I saw.
Morning show, it's not me if it doesn't work tomorrow.
Frustration is real.
All right, it's not me.
Bring some WD-40.
But yeah, man, I just – and so you're going, all right, and look. Falcon fans, the season hasn't started yet. There's still a lot of promise for what this potentially could be. We still are figuring out, to Mike's point, what the quarterback thing is, but we knew that. That's something we knew. We knew that wasn't going to be resolved in 3 days, okay? 5 days, six
right.
days. So that's just out there. We know that's going to work itself out. But this is just adding on to what Ian Cunningham now and Matt Ryan, Mike, and how they view this and what they're going to potentially have to do. I don't think you can ignore this and just go, we got enough guys in the building. Maybe they feel that way. I don't necessarily feel that way.
I mean, look, I just interviewed Braylon Trice the other day. I love the guy. I think he's a leader, but he's had to deal with knee injuries back-to-back.
Yep.
There'll be an opportunity for him. There'll be an opportunity for all these other guys that were brought in on one-year deals that Mark Raimondi just referred to. But the reality of it is, I mean, you may have to pick up the phone if the NFL drops the hammer on James Pierce Jr. and it's something significant, where even if he's appealed it through the Players Association, it turns out to be more than half the season. That's a ton of production. We told you, and Mark reminded us, that's 16 sacks off the roster. So do you pick up the Rolodex and call Von Miller, you know, or talk to whichever Bosa's out there? I mean, it's not ideal, but, I mean, there's a lot of production that's not out there.
Yeah. All right, 404-726-0929. That's what went down today at Falcons training camp, at least the bad news. The good news is Bijan Robinson's under contract. We don't have to talk about that anymore. It's done. He's going to be on the field. We know what he is. He will be productive this season. He was happy to be out here today with his guys as he ran onto the field. He's like, let's go. Time to work. And then that happens at practice.
And he's worth it, man. He's worth every penny. I know some folks still are old school. They think, well, he's got a contract. Not the way it works. He's outperformed his contract. And we saw the same guy in his draft class, Jalen Carter, former dog, get his deal up there in Philly. Now, Jahmyr Gibbs, he's about to get his, and I think Jonathan Taylor and his agent will probably try to go for a few dollars more than what Bijan got.
Sure.
So Bijan right now becomes, per average, the highest-paid running back, but it will, and the most guaranteed, but it could obviously be leapfrog pretty soon, maybe even in the next few weeks.
Well, we're seeing a lot of guys get paid. I mean, the latest is all-pro offensive tackle Darnell Wright. He agrees to terms with the Bears, guys. It makes him the highest-paid offensive lineman. 4 years, $116 million, $93 million guaranteed. So these are the numbers, right? And, again, I go back, been doing this a long time, when these numbers used to come out, you got $20 million.
Right.
And we'd freak
right,
out.
Right.
Now I would hope that all these years of us just hearing this is the game evolving, there's more money being made, the NFL is printing money, as Mike likes to say, this is why I don't ever worry about the cap. This is why I just don't. Guys get paid, and teams take care of who they need to take care of. So you're seeing that around the league, and the Falcons have taken care of their guys. And so, Mike, we can kind of say, all right, who's next? I don't think anything happens until the next offseason.
You're right. And there is, if you go to SpoTrack, we've got a ton of cap space. You know, we talked about the Kirk Cousins and some of the screwy things that happened under Fontenot's watch. The good news is Fontenot drafted three guys that the new regime said, we're giving these guys loot. It's a no-brainer. Drake London, Bergeron, Bijan. The question now is, you know, what's going to happen with this quarterback situation? Is Tua, first off, going to be healthy enough to go show us in the next few weeks? Because now we're 10 days away from the first preseason game, which is August 14th. But still haven't really seen a lot, as we talked about with Mark Grimondi, from Tua or Mike, you know, because of their injury status. Speaking of injuries, D'Angelo Malone goes on the PUP list, former Cedar Grove star. He's a big special teams contributor, so now he's done for the season, speaking of depth and defense. They bring in a guy who's been a former Eagle and a Chief, Marlon Tuipulotu,
okay,
who's a defensive edge or tackle and a 3-4.
Nice job, by the way.
Yeah, it's, I think I'm.
That's a tough name.
Tuipulotu, he knows who he is.
that's a tough name.
Many lucky hi, Mickey. Heidi ho, as Pee Wee would say. But now it's just, we said this earlier to start. Nothing an Atlanta fan doesn't already know. The Braves brought home the bacon 5 years ago, but today just feels like a letdown.
It does.
And then, you know, the Falcons news. Good news, bad news, you know, and then what the heck? So, and I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill with, you know, what's going on at right tackle, but, you know, shining point number three on this team, we still haven't really established who the starting right tackle is going to be. Wanye Morris has been banged up. Juwan Taylor has yet to practice.
Yeah, it's a situation for me because I've seen what Wanye hasn't been able to do yet, and he's limited. So when we talk about limited, we're talking about what Tua has been limited to do. We're talking about what Penix has been limited to do. You got an offensive lineman who's in a new system, new team, who's limited. He's not getting the reps in. The other guy's hurt. He hadn't been in a uniform. And that's Juwan.
Right.
So, and again, you know, time missed on the field, you cannot substitute that as you're getting ready for the upcoming season. It hampers you guys. So that's just where we're at with the right tackle. And it doesn't mean, again, that both guys may not be okay. When it comes down to week one, we still got plenty of time. But I've not been impressed with the right tackle position at all.
No, not at all. And, guys, you know, there's a reason why Vegas dropped this down to 6.5. We may be 6 wins. Before this week is out, as far as win totals, because we've got to establish a quarterback. Right tackle's huge. We just lost 16 sacks from last season's roster. That's a major. These are major. You know, again, nothing to sneeze at. So, major issues now for Ian Cunningham to try to pivot to and work on. And I just wish one way or the other. I mean, just so we know, the other shoe would drop at least with James Pierce Jr. to know what the heck we have to do to how to game plan for it.
That's the other part. All right, guys, we're going to get Grant on the line. We're going to talk about his thoughts, where he's thinking the Braves are now that the deadline has come and gone. I'm a disappointed Braves fan. Maybe you're not. We'll find out what Grant thinks when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture, this Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's PRENUVO.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at PRENUVO.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
By the game. Grant McCauley joins us. Braves start a new series now the trade deadline has come and gone. We're live at Flowery Branch, guys. More on Jalen Walker as he went down today, was carted off at practice, and we're still awaiting official word from the Falcons. Grant, who have you spoken to, and what's been the reaction around the team in regards to the trade deadline? Because I've seen where some players are speaking out, and not that they're saying anything bad, obviously, but the reaction, good, bad, in between, what was your sense?
I mean, the team is going to be a business-as-usual approach. I don't really expect there to be, you know, any kind of, I guess, over-the-top backlash, those kinds of things. But in speaking to Alex Anthopoulos after the trade deadline last night, it just continued to be kind of baffling to try to unpack why the Braves weren't able to get the one thing that has been on their wish list, their want list, their need list since last offseason. And we can track it back even further than that. I recorded a new From the Diamond, so obviously I'll be back on Sunday to talk about the Braves and baseball for 2 hours. I do hope people will continue to interact and follow and do all those things. This is a team that still has postseason aspirations. This is not exactly the most fun trade deadline. I will stipulate that, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more. But more to the point, I mean, we're talking about a trend for the Braves that goes back to 2020 of just running out of the starting pitching that they need in the postseason. And yes, they did win it all in 2021. But what happened in all those other years? Eventually, it did catch up with them. Now, there's no guarantee that there was somebody they could have traded for yesterday that would have solved those ills and taken that problem off the board. It just felt like the most glaring and most important need and the most important time and a trade deadline in which they were set up better than ever to go out and get that thing. It didn't happen. And that's kind of my takeaway from the trade deadline. And I've heard the commentary from Alex. I know he's kind of made the rounds. I know he's on the steakhouse. He spoke to reporters last night. And there's only so much explaining you can do before you just kind of look at the situation and wonder what is going to be the plan after Chris Sale. And I think that's what people are going to continue to wonder moving forward.
It's our man, Grant McCauley, best baseball man in town. And I know, Grant, we've talked about this a lot. I mean, 21, man, you look back at those guys. Like I said, shoot, I'd take Charlie Morton off his couch right now.
Yeah, for
real.
I
mean, when you look at, like, Smiley and Max Fried, it's like Glavin, Smoltz, and Maddox compared to what we're rolling out there. So talk about with Mally from the Giants. I mean, do they expect him? I know the Tony Gwynn Jr. said he had a good, decent outing, gave up some earned runs, but struck out 9. So how does he figure in?
Yeah, I mean, he's been decent since coming off the injured list back in, I believe, late June. So he's had a decent run of starts. He did strike out 9 against the Padres a couple of days ago, was touched up for 5 runs. The home run problem was really an issue for him early on in the season, but I would also kind of look deeper into the stats and say, well, he pitched in a very pitcher-friendly park in San Francisco, did pretty well, kind of got knocked around on the road. How will he fare at Truist Park, we'll see. And with the Braves, this is something that I've talked about with a lot of pitchers over the past couple of years, is that they look at ways to tweak the arsenal a little bit, change some pitch usage, and maybe, you know, create some opportunity for improvement when he comes over here. Right. He's a serviceable, you know, addition and a back-end starter, but it just didn't check that box of playoff caliber, playoff ready, you know, front of the rotation type starter that you trust with those October innings. And I know we're not in October yet. It's August. Like we haven't gotten there, but it's just to see 12, 13, however many starting pitchers it was traded yesterday, it was just difficult to see the Braves just kind of settle for one that it helps with the innings problem, which is something I asked Alex expressly about. Like, how did you come into this trade deadline looking to solve some innings problems, but not getting enough from the rotation, having too many on the bullpen? You mentioned the expanded roster when you get into September, but, you know, we're still a few weeks away from that, and I don't think that's the cure-all for a lot of the Braves' pitching problems when it comes to bulk quality innings that they need over the next couple of months.
All right, hypothetical, but I just want to get your thoughts on it. We couldn't have gotten Robbie Ray or Casey Mize. Like, the deal the Padres made is the one that just irks me. Do you feel like we could have gotten that deal done for what they gave up?
No, I do. I mean, the Braves farm system, and this is not a surprise, and we've talked about this quite a bit this year, and it's nice to be able to talk about it again. It has a lot of good pieces. Now, do you want to trade one of the top pieces, an Eric Hartman or a Cam Caminiti or the likes for 2 months of Robbie Ray or Casey Mize, either one? No, not really. I don't want to do that, and I don't think that'd necessarily be the best expenditure of your tippy-top prospects. But there's depth down through, I feel like, the Braves system that is, at the very worst, equal to, if not greater than, what the Padres were shipping out to get those two starting pitchers. I posted this on social. This was my takeaway from the deadline. The Padres had the kind of trade deadline that the Braves needed to have.
Yes.
Those two starters, I mean, they could both get hurt in their next turn through the rotation. That's on the table, too. I certainly don't wish that on anybody, but there are some realities that come with renting players and pitchers and all those things. Right. It can go wrong, but if you never do it, you'll never know. And that kind of is the right box that, or the place that I think a lot of Braves fans are in. It's like the not knowing is really killing you. Like, what could you have gotten them for? What could they have done if they got here? The what-if game is a tough one. It is a first-place team. It is a team that has a lot of talent, particularly on the offensive side. They do have an ace in Chris Sale. They do have one of the best bullpens in baseball. What could those innings mean to the Braves, not just over the next couple of months to sew up their spot in the postseason, but once you get there? Because, as I mentioned, there's a long history of the Braves having to really jump some hurdles to get the pitching that they need in the postseason, and it hasn't worked out particularly well the last three trips.
Right, and sometimes you give up a great prospect to get to the goal of winning the World Series. You know, I mean, it drives me crazy. I mean, not all, Grant, I don't want to speak overgeneralization, but some Braves fans feel like they're scared of their own shadow. It was like the Vaughn Grissom, back in the day, right? When it was like with the Chris Sale trade. And that was, oh, my God, we can't. I just feel that you've got to prime that pump and just go for it. You know, it's a craps game or a poker game. Put all the chips in there. Do you feel, is there any pushback from ownership, or is this simply a philosophical thing from Alex Anthopoulos?
No, I don't think it's just, it's complicated, I guess, is probably the best way to put it. If we were putting a Facebook status on this whole thing,
right,
it's a complicated game. It's a dance between, you know, do you want to sacrifice, I mean, players that you truly believe in? And I know this at the winter meetings a couple of years ago. I know I told you guys this on previous calls. When the White Sox were looking to deal Garrett Crochet, the name that they wanted was Drake Baldwin. Crochet went to the Red Sox. He's a very good pitcher. He's had some injuries this year. But could you imagine Drake Baldwin doing the things he's done the last couple of years in a White Sox uniform? And the Braves going through what they've gone through, I'm just going to tell you, the last couple of years, Garrett Crochet would not have solved all their problems. That can also be the mass of all this, is you do get a great player, you do trade away a great player, but it still doesn't guarantee that you're going to win the World Series. And that's kind of the tough thing, is, you know, you want these moves to matter in a vacuum, that they would change and completely alter the possibility of winning the World Series. And does it increase your odds? Yes. But a lot of things can happen in October. Great teams have been sent home early. The Braves know about that. The Dodgers, I know they've won the last couple of World Series, but they were getting bounced out, including by the Braves. And then again the next year, after winning, I think it was 104, 105 games, whatever it was, all the winning that you can do and the trades that you can make, including what the Dodgers did in 21, getting Trey Turner and Max Scherzer and I forget whoever else, they still lost in the NLCS to a Braves team that was not, you know, of the star power of the LA Dodgers. So I don't know if there's a great answer to this question, I guess, and at some point I got to stop talking, but it's difficult to grapple with right now because you just don't feel like you got adequately prepared at a time when everybody else seemed to be going out there and grabbing the things off the shelf that they needed to prepare for this stretch drive in terms of that needle-moving move, that thing that could have put you over the top, at least in your mind's eye. You would like to be going into battle with that.
Look at the Cubs, Carl. The Padres.
Revamped their rotation. What about Kim? What do you think the plan is there? Is he going to try to play him every day and figure this out? What's the situation there?
I really don't think that he's going to be able to take away significant playing time, at least to start with, from Jim Jarvis, who's getting the start tonight, and Mauricio Dubon, who now with a platoon of Mike Yastrzemski and Lane Thomas in left field, no longer has to play out there and is a very good defensive infielder and should be playing at shortstop and has pushed his way into, and I know Walt said this a time or three, he's an everyday guy, even if he doesn't have a singular position that he's going to play. So I don't know what really the plan is with Hoskins Kim other than to try to mix him in where it makes sense. Yeah. I know he'll get some playing time here. I don't think that the Braves wanted to just you know, cut bait and move on, and clearly they didn't. And Alex was asked after the trade deadline, was there ever any thought to doing that? And he said no. I'll take him at his word for it, but what's the path to playing time? I don't have the answer to that question, and I'm not sure that Walt Weiss has the exact answer to that question either, because it would come at the expense of guys that he is really comfortable with manning the shortstop position.
All right, Grant. Great stuff, man. Appreciate you. Great work over the trade deadline, leading up to it, follow-up. I know it'll be fun to listen over the weekend from the Diamond, and let's see where this goes. Now that the deadline is done, man, let's see if this team can continue to do what we've seen them do, and that's, you know, play great baseball, man, and be in first place. Hopefully that's the case, and everything works out the way we expect. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Yeah, that's Grant McCauley, guys. We are live at Flowery Branch. We'll fill you in on the latest with Jalen Walker. Bijan gets his deal. But there's something we need to talk about, and it's important. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Fall is a vibe. So what's yours? Do you go wild or get a little nostalgic? Do you like to cozy up indoors or kick it outdoors? Whatever you fall for, get shoes that get you. We've got the trends. You bring the vibes. DSW, let us surprise you.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture, this Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
We continue to react to the Braves and the trade deadline. They're back in action tonight at Truist. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're live at Flowery Branch. The big story today, though, is Jalen Walker going down for the Falcons during practice. And again, no word yet officially from the Falcons. It is rumored to be an ACL, but again, we do not know that. That's just varying reports that are out there. As NFL Network was here today, our buddy Steve Weish, Ian Rappaport, and so they were here getting some stuff. And, Mike, this is just, you know, again, for Falcon fans who were leaving here, we saw so many of our wonderful fans, people that listen to 92.9 The Game. Thank you guys for acknowledging us, but leaving distraught. Because the way practice ended just, today.
It takes the wind out of the sails of the fans, the players. Stefanski was, you know, he's been around the league, you know, something like that. It just, you just stop practice, and that was it. It was canceled at that point. So it's everything that you hate to see, for whether it's high school, college, or pros, and you hope he can bounce back from it, and we're not going to speculate, but waiting on the official word. A lot of stuff leaking out from NFL Network that it is potentially torn ACL, which means we're going to lose it for the season, and we know what that means. Anybody who's been through that, it's the rehab. You've lost 2026. Here's a guy we're expecting to take that huge leap in his career this season, and he might not get to square one.
He's a dude, too.
Love the guy, man. And everybody loves him because, you know, whether you're a Georgia fan or not, he's just a great guy. He's everything you want in one of your players.
No doubt, man. So we're going to see tomorrow. We're back here for practice in the morning. We'll be at Hooters Mall of Georgia tomorrow afternoon, inviting you guys to come through and join us. Thursday is an official off day for the Falcons, so they will not practice. We will be back in the studio, and then Friday back up here to see what happens at the end of the week here, guys, and where this thing is. And hopefully, Mike, maybe tomorrow, as Mark Raimondi said to us from ESPN, Tua is maybe a little bit further down the road and as a full go, because that's kind of what we've been waiting
right.
on.
Right, and because if anything, the guys, the fans who really want to see Michael Penix Jr. win this job, of which there are many, it's not like Tua has done anything which separates him from Michael. Just, you know, we got to get Michael out there, and he told us it may be 3 or 4 weeks before he can do everything.
Sure.
But Tua's not exactly able to do all the things. I mean, the idea that Jack Strand and Cooper Rush would have the lion's share of the snaps was certainly not something we were thinking about.
Yeah, and I just want to mention this, and then we're going to let you hear from Tony Gwynn Jr. as we've been talking about the trade deadline. It's not just us. It's other folks around the country that cover national baseball.
Right.
And on the national baseball scene that are all kind of scratching their heads about where Alex went with this trade deadline and how the Braves operate.
Or where he didn't go.
This specific one, right? It doesn't, you know, we're not grading him for 21 or 22 or 23. Those are gone. This is about now. So we'll let you hear what Tony said in regards to what we asked him and his response to the trade deadline. Real quick, I just want to say this. And I'm happy for Bijan Robinson getting his deal. And that was the news as we started the day, and great.
The happy portion of it.
Yes, and we don't have to worry about that anymore, and he'll be here. And, guys, he's going to have a great season. But the fact that the Falcons have locked up all these pieces, Kyle Pitts, Bergeron, Drake, now Bijan, is terrific. But if we don't have the right quarterback, this means nothing. And I'm not trying to, like, gloss this over, Mike, and take away from the day. But this new front office in Ian Cunningham and Matt Ryan, and look, they've done a good job so far. And Kevin today, it was funny because Kevin was like, I'm not in on these negotiations. I just tell them how I'd like to use guys. And, you know, I try to stay out of that stuff. And as a head coach, I get that. But here's my point. We still, at this point, even though I love all the guys that have been locked up, and I think we got a nice core, we still have not figured out the most important piece in football. And until that is done, Mike, this doesn't mean a whole lot. I don't care if Matt Bergeron is an all-pro. I don't care if Bijan has the most all-purpose yards. I don't care if Drake is a top three wide receiver this season. I don't care if Kyle Pitts. All that doesn't matter, and none of that is possible, by the way, if you don't have this position figured out. So I'm just saying this to say it is all good news that they're taking care of the guys that they need to take care of, but we're still missing the most important piece, and that is just looming. It's just on our backs, Mike.
Yeah, and that's like it's reality, man. So, I mean, I said it before the season began. I still think our best quarterback is in the draft, unless one of these guys can get 6 days into practice. We're no closer to knowing who the starting quarterback is. Facts. You know, Tua is probably the guy penciled in the fans' minds, but he's got to show he can do it, and I haven't seen enough of that just yet either. Fun to talk to the guy, and he's a leader, but got to see it on the field, man. Yeah, this is one of the most Atlanta or Atlanta-itis type days from a sports talk radio standpoint. Just a lot of stuff that takes a just kind of gut punch you. We've been using that phrase a lot, taking the air out of the balloon.
Yeah, yeah, and the reason why I bring that up briefly is
it's simply, real, it's reality.
Yeah, because everybody's like, man, you know, they're taking care of everybody. Yes, they are, and it bodes well for the organization, especially for a new GM to come in here and go, he's good enough for us to have to take care of. He's good enough. We need to take care of him. That's great. But the one thing we need to be able to hang our hat on, and this is what separates us right now. If you talk about offensive linemen and skill position guys and whether we got the best running back or one of the best players in the league, nobody in the league is going to debate that. But what separates us from the Bills, what separates us from Kansas City, what separates us from guys, and I don't even think he's that great, 49ers and Brock Purdy, Mike, they at least have a guy that they can hang their hat on and go, we got that guy. That is what we're missing.
Right. It's real. And now, guys,
Eagles.
I never thought we'd maybe have to go shop and talk to guys like Von Miller or one of the Boses and maybe have to go beef up our edge rush right now. Because we're still, I mean, the only way this Sunday gets worse, the crap Sunday put a cherry on top, is if the NFL drops the news on James Pierce Jr. anytime soon. And then maybe the Falcons, as Mark Ramondi, he's of the opinion the Falcons have no idea when this is coming down.
Mike, can we get it tomorrow so we can finish this crap week up?
Right. I mean, I'd like to know what the stories of James Pierce Jr. We got a bunch of guys on one-year prove-it deals, guys that are getting a second chance in their careers. A guy like Braylon Trice trying to make things work with injuries. But we don't really, I mean, we just lost 16 sacks. They walked out the door. More if you consider Floyd had five himself last year, as Mark reminded us.
Yeah. And I'm just going through, you know, what's different between us and the Ravens? Lamar.
Yes.
Just keep going down the list.
I mean, look, we've got a lot of great players and a lot of exciting pieces. I mean, look, can't wait to see our secondary. Can't wait to see, you know, we haven't really talked much about Avion Terrell. So far, he's checking the boxes. You know, he's having rookie moments, but he's also having some big moments. But only 6 days in, 10 days till the first preseason game. But an injury to Jalen Walker just cast a big shadow over today's proceedings for fans, but certainly for the players, it's just a shock to the system.
Yeah, and if he's out there, man, as people, we wish him the best. We
love the guy, man. Yeah. He's everybody. As we said, everything you want out of one of your stars.
I hope that if it is rehab, that, you know, he gets at it as quick as possible and tries to get back. Obviously not this season, but if it's not, man, I'm just waiting for that news to hit. All right, before we get out of here, I want you to hear Tony Gwynn Jr. Again, it's just not us saying, why didn't we do more?
Where's the beef?
Listen to our Odyssey MLB insider, Tony Gwynn, about what he thinks what the Braves did during the trade deadline.
Yeah, I think slightly. I don't think it was perhaps the major big deals that I think a lot of Brave fans were hoping. Mm. But I do think they shored up some things that they need. You get an extra starter I happen to have just watched Mally pitch. He pitched a gem against the Padres not that long ago, so he seems to be throwing the ball well. I also experienced the beginning of the second half with Lane Thomas. He went deep in all three games the Padres played. So maybe my opinion is a little high on those guys having seen their success, but I do think they helped the team. Now, was it the kind of deals that I think, you know, maybe people were expecting it? And to be honest, I don't know that the Braves ever make deals like that. They usually make smart deals that fit the need they have, and very rarely, it's hard for me to remember them at a deadline going out and making like a major deal that involves one of these, you know, high-end type players. This kind of fits the personality that we've seen from Alex and then the Braves organization to me.
Now, Mike, I don't expect that every year. I just don't. I don't expect any of these general managers.
Right.
Every single year is different. I don't expect Anse Saleh to go out and get the best free agent in the market every year that the Hawks go into free agency. I don't expect that from Ian Cunningham. I'm telling you now, he's been here, you know, less than half a year. And I don't expect that from Alex. But every now and then, when you're in first place and the best free agent potentially is on the market, I do expect you to get in on that.
Right.
Where's the beef?
What? Thank you. Thank you, Clara Peller. Yeah, I mean, Anse Saleh came on and told us we didn't think we were one player away this year, because we're not. I mean, and again, wrestlers also got to spend some money. That's a separate conversation.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting back to the Braves, I mean, let's take it back. The general manager said when the season ended, the offseason, one of the priorities is we're going to get a starting pitcher. We've got to get more starting pitching. And you didn't do that. So, I mean, and I love all these excuse makers. I'm going to talk about that when I clear my throat. But,
okay.
Oh, well, the Blue Jays don't deal with him. Okay, so Gosman's off the books. Well, Scooble, the Tigers had already done the deal. They made a secret deal with the Dodgers. Okay, we were never going to get Scooble. I never really thought we'd get Scooble. Okay, so what about the other guys? DeGrom didn't want to come here. Okay, there's still more guys.
What about Robbie Ray? What about Casey Mize?
I mean, these guys, what about these guys? Other guys in play. Now, look, the good news is, and this is the double-edged sword. You've done enough, and your bullpen, which is going to be overworked at some point, has done enough. But you can't have them having to go from the fourth to the ninth every freaking night.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know, and that's where you position yourself on nights when it's not Chris Sale. Hopefully, Elder continues his upward track. Hopefully, Grant Holmes can give you five innings tonight. But, I mean, that's the reality of it. Tony Gwynn told you, this team is good and it's got offensive weapons, even with Austin Riley not hitting consistently. But why don't you invest in it? And to me, as a fan, if you're not trying to win the World Series when you're up by 22 freaking games and you're 7.5 up on the Phillies and you're not trying to double down on that, then why should I be a fan for you? Why should I give you my hard-earned money? You know, if you're not gonna take it and do something with it.
All right, guys, we are back tomorrow here at Flowery with the latest from practice. Of course, the latest after practice. And we'll be at Hooters. So come on out and join us, Mall of Georgia location, after the show. Big O, let's get out of here, man, and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9.
Oh!
The Game.
Where's the beef? What?
Hey, thanks to Brian Robinson today. We have two B-Robs, right?
Right.
Bijan Robinson, Brian Robinson. Brian Robinson came and sat down with us right after practice.
Yeah, it was tough timing because it was right after the Jalen Walker injury and practice had ended abruptly, but we do appreciate him taking time to speak with us.
No doubt about it. Mark Raimondi making some time for us as well. You can check out all the interviews online at Odyssey.com. Connor Riley talking about the Dogs, Kirby, and the coaches poll, guys. It's out. Dogs are 3, which means the coaches are thinking that they're pretty damn good. Alabama is outside the top 10.
Oh, why do you hate Alabama so much?
I'm sorry, I just had to mention it. Hey, man, Day-Day, great job producing.
Tomorrow at Hooters.
What's that?
Tomorrow, Hooters.
Yeah, tomorrow Hooters.
I want to be at Hooters.
Yes,
I need a drink after today's show.
Yes, we're at Hooters tomorrow. Hey, my man Gordon, Commissioner Gordon, thank you, man, for being our on-site engineer.
Great job for taking advantage and doing a great job.
Yes.
Rarely I'm the one who goes off. I've never seen you so angry like that. In a piece of equipment.
The fan's okay. I hope. He did have to take it apart.
I mean, you were a race car in the red.
He did have to take it apart. I felt bad. Gordon was like, I got the tools to do this.
He did a great job. Gotta have a Phillips head in the back, Carl.
Man, you make me sound like a madman when you play that, Oren. All right. Mike Bell, Turtles coming up. He's got a full show. And thanks to the Falcon staff out here, by the way. They always treat us great, so I want to give them some love. All right, man, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Make sure you're here. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Like I said a few times today, and it just irks me when I get somebody in the media who sounds like a total company man. And I can't stand company men, you know, who just make all sorts of excuses. You have it in your company. We have it in ours. But, you know, company man. I'm talking about you, CJ Nitkowski.
Oh.
Who does a great job calling the game. I'm sorry, Day-Day. It is true. It goes on Twitter, and Braves fans are unhinged, or we're whining. Well, Braves fans are whining. You know what? Just focus on Austin Riley's exit velocity, CJ, and you can tell us what a good fan is while we blow another opportunity to win a World Series.
So, while you're talking about the Braves, Walt Weiss said today that Dubon's super utility role will include playing shortstop against some left-hand starters. So what's that mean for Ha-Seong Kim? Walt Weiss, he's not sure how he's going to get Kim playing time with Jarvis playing and Dubon's flexibility. So why is he here? Hey, man, if you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
You bought a Kim jersey in Northport?
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.